This show is a part of the Podnuts Network. Find more shows like this at www.podnuts.com.
On the edge of real and cyberspace, there's one place you can go.
Welcome to Nightwise.com.
Nightwise.com.
Tired of choosing between Macs, Linux, and OS X? Listen to the Nightwise.com podcast and learn how to slide from operating system to operating system using our hack tips and tweaks for cross-platform geeks. Tune tech into your way of life and let technology work for you instead of the other way around.
On the edge of real and cyberspace, there's one place you can go, and you found it. Welcome to Nightwise.com, the one and only podcast with hacks, tips, and tweaks for cross-platform geeks. Whether you're a Windows, Linux, Mac, iOS, Android, or some Solaris user, we have the tips and tricks you need to tune tech into your way of life. My name's Nightwise, and for the coming 60 minutes or so, I'll be your host on this episode of the Nightwise.com podcast, KW902 Season 9, Episode 2, What's Wrong with Windows? For more information and the show notes, head on over to the website www.nightwise.com, that is KNIGHTWISE.com, where you'll find the links to everything we talk about and the Nightwise.com media feed. Subscribe to this feed and get all of the Nightwise.com podcasts, screencasts delivered to your favorite podcatcher automatically, letting technology work for you. Hey guys and girls, welcome to KW902, the first audio podcast of Season 9 of the Nightwise.com podcast. Season 9 is, if I'm not mistaken, marking the 10th year that I am doing the Nightwise.com podcast, which is actually quite amazing if you think of it, that I've been doing this for such a long time. We've had a little bit of a hiatus at the end of the summer just to, you know, recharge our batteries, get everything ready for the next season, but we are going to give you one hell of a season this season. Season 9 is going to be filled with a lot of video podcasts, audio podcasts. There's a lot to tell, a lot to review, and a lot to do. If you are going to the blog is buzzing. Nightwise.com is, again, buzzing with activity, with daily articles, and also our social media feeds, Nightwise.com/Twitter and Nightwise.com/Facebook, are alive with the sound of music? Nah, not the sound of music. The sound of cross-platform geeks getting their geek on and letting technology work for them. Enough jibber-jabber, on with the show for today. KW902, what is wrong with Windows? Windows has been the stepchild of the Nightwise.com family. I gotta admit, I have been on Linux and on Mac for the longest time, ever since I started podcasting, and I haven't been using Windows a lot in my free time. I do say in my free time, because I am using Windows, of course, at work every single day, and at home, not so much. So I thought, you know, I should rectify that situation. I should do something about that. So I decided to get back into Windows and give Windows a little bit more love and a little bit more attention. I was pleasantly surprised, I must say, so pleasantly surprised that I put this show together a couple of weeks ago and only now have the time to broadcast it. So we are going to talk about Windows. What's wrong with Windows? And I ask that in two intonations, two inflections? Yes, two inflections of that sentence. What's wrong with Windows? Or what's wrong with Windows? Is anything wrong with Windows? What is wrong with Windows? We'll find out. I'll go and tell you about what I did with Windows, what I thought of Windows, what I use in Windows, and how Windows, whether it's Windows 8, or Windows 7, in this case it's going to be Windows 8, or Windows 10, Windows 9, not so much, whether Windows will work for you. That and more this week on the Nightwise.com podcast. So hang on to your hats, close your doors and open your windows, because we are going to get into the meat of the matter. Windows. It's always been a little bit of a stepchild here on Nightwise.com. As I said, I've been on Linux and on Mac for the longest time, and especially the last couple of years, I was completely happy doing whatever I wanted to do using Linux and the Mac. And actually, that's a little bit of a shame, because Windows has a lot to offer, and Windows has a bad rep. Windows has a bad rep in this house, and the reason for that is Windows Phone. We had a Windows Phone. One of the first models that we got was the, if I'm not mistaken, Acer Allegro, a pretty cheap phone, first big Windows phone by Acer, which was a low budget phone, and it was pretty okay. Windows Phone was nice, good looking, and we decided to get Niana a Samsung Windows Phone a couple of months later. We went for the Samsung ATIV, which is a beautiful device about the size of a Samsung Galaxy S3 with a beautiful display and with Windows Phone, which proved to be disastrous. This was Samsung's only go at producing a Windows Phone, and it was not good. There was something wrong with the software/hardware link, because when the phone would go out of range, the operating system would crash and the entire phone would reboot. So if it didn't have a phone signal, the phone would crash and reboot. And then, of course, there was the fact that when you had the phone and you wanted to do stuff, you know, connecting it to the Google Exchange connector, iffy. Finding some nice applications that were pretty stable, iffy. Turned out that after 2 weeks, Niana said, stuff it, sell the thing, I'm going back to Android, and I'm never ever coming back. So Windows Mobile got a little bit of a bad rep here in the house. And because we didn't have any real PCs or didn't really need any Windows machines, we just didn't go towards Windows 8 at home. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to break that trend. I'm going to get myself something to play around with Windows 8, because darn it, I need to use it at home more. I use it at work a lot, but at home. It was time to do it at home. So just to play around, I got a little tablet. I got a Dell Venue 8 Pro. Now, this is one of the things that I said to myself, I will never buy a Windows tablet because it has Windows Mobile, and I won't buy a Windows tablet that runs Windows Pro if it's not 10-inch or bigger, because I did not see the use of running Windows 8 Pro on a 8-inch screen. Well, yeah, okay. If you're really known to Windows, there are two flavors of Windows. There's Windows 8 Pro, which lets you really run Windows like on a laptop, install applications like, I don't know, Office and Photoshop and stuff. And there's Windows Mobile, which kind of looks the same, but which only runs mobile applications, ARM applications that you can get in the Windows Store. So those are the two discrepancies. What I got, because I was so dissatisfied with Windows Mobile, was the Dell Venue 8 Pro, which is a Windows 8 Pro device, and a very tiny one at that, because, quite frankly, it has a small screen. When I say a small screen, it has an 8-inch screen. Let me quickly check if I can find the resolution here. Yeah, 800 by 1280 pixels, an Atom processor, and 2 gigabytes of RAM. Basically, it's a netbook. That's what it can be compared with. So I decided to get one of those to play around with, and I was pleasantly surprised, because, quite frankly, the Windows 8 tablet, the little Venue here, proved to be quite effective in the sense that running Windows 8 Pro on it gave me not only the Windows Mobile interface, the Metro interface, but also the ability to install standard apps. And because it was a Windows Pro distribution that was on there, I could really play around with, you know, whenever my mobile apps didn't cut it, I could go to the standard desktop apps, and I started enjoying that device quite a bit. Quite a bit, I must say, because not long after that, I got me one of these. People in the YouTubes can see this. Here you go. That is my Windows Surface Pro. Now, this was actually a device made by Microsoft. Mine has the little keyboard, and it comes with an Urban Armor Gear kickstand, which makes it look like a freaking tank. This thing is heavy, but we'll get into how I enjoy it. So the Surface Pro is a little bit more hefty. I think it's an i3 processor or an i5 processor was in here. I have a 128 gigabytes SSD drive where the Surface, where the little Dell Venue 8 only had 64. This is more like a real computer. So my first impressions of it, buying, not, you know, to play with Windows Pro, or also buying an actual Microsoft device, I thought, like, oh my god. So my first impressions were that this was well built. This is a Surface 1 Pro, because a Surface 3 was just too darn expensive, and I just wanted to something to experiment a little bit further with than my experiments with the Dell Venue 8. So it is heavy. It's a tank. You can kill somebody with this, especially with the Urban Armored Gear casing that really makes it, I think it looks like a mine, like a landmine or something, you know. Point this way towards enemy. Boom, boom. That's what it looks like. But I was pretty surprised with the fact that this being a device that was actually manufactured by Microsoft, it was decent. It was heavy, but it was decent. It was quite fast, and it had a pretty good screen. Storage was good. Screen was HD, 1920 by 1080, if I'm not mistaken. The touchscreen was good. It came with a little stylus. The stylus was great. I was impressed. I was really, really impressed. Battery life was okay for a first-generation product. And having Windows Pro 8 on there, Windows 8 Pro on there, proved to be very, very, very interesting in order, you know, for us to play with. So yeah, that's what I started to use. So what it actually was like using this tablet was interesting. I didn't expect that I was going to use either the Windows 8, the Dell Venue 8, or the Surface 1 as a tablet. I kind of used the Dell Venue 8 as a little bit of a tablet-y device, but I hooked up a keyboard and a mouse when I wanted to do the really fancy thing. So I had like a little ultra-powerful netbook. But the Surface, I thought, I'm really going to use that like a laptop, because I don't see myself using it like a tablet, because it's too heavy. And that's just the way it is. I don't use it as a tablet. It's bad. it's really bad. It's too heavy. But that being said, it works great as a laptop. I got one of those type cover keyboards with backlights and everything, and except for the fact that the touchpad sucks, this is a decent device to work with. So does it work for me? Yeah, on first impressions, it does work for me. I use it more like a netbook plus than I use it as a tablet. I said that. I also use it more as kind of like a mobile machine than a laptop. I take it with me actually quite a lot, but it is heavy. But when I have it with me, I know that you know, it's as sturdy and as funky and as flexible as any laptop that I have. It's only a little bit, you know, heavy on the back, and with the keyboard, you know, being actually the lid of the device, it's kind of like the reverse that you're used to. Normally you have, you know, the heavy part of your laptop's on the bottom, and the light part's the screen. So people in the YouTubes are following along. But with this baby is top heavy, which is strange. And especially when you put it on your lap, it's not really convenient, but not as bad. I use the Metro interface, the mobile interface, for consumption, for content consumption. I actually found a couple of interesting apps out there. We'll talk about the Windows apps and stuff a little bit later on. I found a place for using it as a content consumption device and using it with the Metro interface more when I was looking at a watching movies and stuff like that. I used the standard desktop interface when I had the keyboard attached or wanted to type something or use an application. The keyboard, as I said, the touchpad's not that great, so that was a little bit weird. And after using it a little bit, I thought, what does this remind me of? Does this remind me of a tablet? Is it a laptop? Is it a tablet? And then I came to an epiphany that the Microsoft Surface Pro is what the Microsoft tablets of the tablet PC era should have been. I've had an HP 1100 tablet, Windows XP tablet PC, which was quite bad. And that was Microsoft's first attempt at a tablet. And this was years before Apple invented the iPad. Now, having the Surface Pro in my hands again and working with it, I found out that, hey, this is the tablet PC as it should have been back then. It is powerful, versatile, a little bit on the heavy side. The stylus is great. You can run apps side by side. You have mobile apps, you have standard apps. You have an operating system that kind of behaves like a mobile one and also behaves like a standard one. So you could say it's kind of a botch up of different things that were never really meant to be together, because it's not a tablet as we know what a tablet is today, like an iPad, and it's not a laptop that like we know what a laptop looks like today, like an Ultrabook. This Surface is the tablet PC of 1999, but done right. It's really, really funny when you think of it. So how do I use it, and which are the favorite applications that I have on it? That's something we'll talk about in the next part of this episode of the Nightwise.com podcast. We'll find out what's wrong with Windows. So we talked about the hardware, the Dell Venue 8 Pro and the Microsoft Surface Pro. And now it's time to talk about the software, because it's nice to have these devices with you. One of them, a little 8-inch tablet that behaves like a super netbook, and one of them a 10-inch pretty hefty tablet that feels like a tablet PC from the early 2000s. So what do you run on them? How do you use them? And what are the apps that you can install? Well, I'll tell you mine, which were my favorite apps, and I'll try to break them up into different categories based on what I use them for. Let's start out with the Metro apps, you know, the ones that you have in the tiled interface and the apps that you can install from the Microsoft App Store. This is not my favorite place to go. I hate the App Store. The App Store is, the Microsoft App Store is filled with crap. Many of the real important apps, like, for example, Instagram and stuff, just aren't there. The richness of applications that are connected to modern day web services, like, for example, I don't know, Dropbox, Reddit, Instagram, Pinterest, stuff like that, it's not obvious to find them there. I was really used to finding them in the Google Play Store or in the iOS App Store. But suddenly, when I came to Windows, it was like, where'd everybody go? Where's the official Instagram app? Where's the this app? Where's the that app? It just wasn't there, especially in the beginning. But instead of it, there were 2,500 applications there that could replace it. There are 500 Instagram apps on the Microsoft Store written by third-party developers. That's great. They just don't work. or their crap, or their malware, or their steal your data, and you absolutely have no way of finding out whether an application that you're going to install is the official one, or is one that's botched together by a well-meaning, or not, third-party developer. So, especially when I was experimenting with Metro apps in the beginning, it was terrible. I went like, okay, I want something that interacts with my, Google Calendar or with my Gmail and stuff like that. And in the beginning, it took me quite a while to find the right apps because they just weren't there, which was frustrating to say the least. I did go for a Windows 8 Pro. My God, if anybody ever buys a Surface tablet with an RT processor so that you can only install apps from the Windows Store, that is money not well spent. I mean, I would rather burn the money than buy a Surface RT tablet, because there is no possible way that you can get value for money there. That's why I said I want a Pro, and if I don't have a Pro, I don't want a Surface at all. I don't want to work with Windows RT at all, because it's not what it's cooked up to be. But that being said, I went looking into the Windows App Store. Does it have a name? Windows Store? I don't know. And found some. One of them is the app called One Calendar. One Calendar was a app that I was looking for that could hook up to my Google infrastructure, to my Google Calendars, plural. I didn't want to go online using a browser to go to the Google Calendar. I wanted an app to do that, and I found one. One Calendar is a very good interface. It connects with multiple Google applications, multiple Google Calendars, even calendars on Google Apps for domains. And it works right. It works great. The interface is great. It responds great to the whole gesture thing in Windows, which I didn't say that yet, because I was really impressed by how good the touch interface worked if you have a touch screen. I mean, swiping up and down on left and right and having four different directions to do different things takes some getting used to in the beginning, but it's better than the few gestures you can do on iOS. So I was impressed by that. So One Calendar really takes advantage of that. The second one that I found was Reddited. Reddited is an app that lets you browse Reddit. So yeah, okay, Reddit might not be that interesting, but hey, Reddited is a great app. It was a real nice way to discover Reddit and read all the subreddits and read all the content in a way that I haven't found any app on any other operating system do it in the same great way. I mean, this was actually somewhere one application where the Windows operating system and the Windows RT Store had the best app. There is no better, more sophisticated, beautiful, well-built Reddit reader than Reddit on iOS, on Windows Mobile. I absolutely top-notch. I didn't expect that. It won. The other app that I installed was Evernote Touch. There's a touch version of Evernote, and that also allows you to interact with your Evernote account and stuff like that. Now, this was funny. I had installed two versions. One of them was the standard desktop version of Evernote, and one of them was the Evernote Touch version. And I must say, I use the Evernote Touch version a little bit more because it is so well built. So those were my three favorite Metro apps. Not a lot of Metro apps, I know, but, that's just the way it is. There, I've got Windows 8 Pro, so I can do with my apps whatever the crap I want. I don't need Metro apps, so I use them as few as possible, but those three, I really like them. So, hold on, as I turn a dial here, because my headphones were a little bit on the loud side. Sorry about that. So, let's get into the second part of my favorite applications, into the classic applications, the standard desktop applications that I used on my Surface, and the ones that you can also install, especially, you know, you can also install the other ones, by the way, on your laptop or desktop running Windows 8. Let's take a look at those in the next part. So what about the classic apps, the applications that you can install on any versions of Windows? I hope that you're not running XP anymore, but let's say you're on Windows 7. What about the applications that you can install on Windows Pro / non-Windows 8 or non-Windows 8 platforms, like Windows 10 or XP or lower? That's another list, a whole other list, because it was for me a list that I wanted to make as complete as possible, because it would have to give me my sliders advantage. It would have to meet the requirements that really allow me to be a slider. I mean, I am a cross-platform geek. I am in the cloud. I am on iOS. I am on Android. I am on Linux. I have a Mac. I mean, all those things should play well together. And integrating Windows in there would mean that the applications that I would start using would have to be slider compatible, thus usable almost everywhere. So one of the most important apps that I installed on Windows 8 was Chrome. Chrome, the browser, and all its Chrome extensions, because, you know, Chrome's actually, when you take a look at it, a platform. Chrome is a platform when you take a look at it in Chromium or in Chrome OS, where Chrome becomes the operating system of the Chromebook. And with that philosophy, I also started using Chrome on my Windows tablet. So what really happens is that I take Chrome and I take my Windows tablet or whatever Windows operating system that I'm using or device that I'm using, and I use Chrome as an intermediary OS that is available both on Windows, on Mac, and on Linux. So using Chrome and all its extensions in Windows 8 full mode really makes your Windows device behave like a Chromebook. And that, for me, was really a gateway drug into bringing the Windows operating system into my sliders environment, because Chrome allowed me to bridge those gaps. Firefox was the second app that I installed, and also Firefox comes with a lot of extensions. Cyberpunk Librarian is fond of saying that Firefox is an OS all on its own, and actually he is very, very right. Firefox is an OS all on its own, and it will allow you to have applications / services / levels of interaction with your data that you can have on the other platforms like Windows and Linux as well, because Firefox is there too, isn't it? So, yeah, then there is a suite of applications that I regularly install, and that's called the Ninite Pack. Ninite is, that's at ninite.com, if I'm not mistaken, put the links in the show notes, is a batch installer of the most important applications that you can install on Windows. So what you do is you go to Ninite, and you actually, on the website, tick a lot of boxes, like which applications you would like to install. Now, for example, there's Chrome, Firefox, Opera, OpenOffice, the GIMP, an antivirus software, you know, all kinds of interesting apps that are free, and, well, some are open source, some are not, but they are free as in they don't cost you anything. And what Ninite does is create one installer. So an .exe file, you download it, you click on it, and then Ninite installs all of those applications. It downloads them automatically, so you have the latest version, and it installs them automatically, which is great. I mean, Ninite is like an automated installation script that gets all of the interesting applications on your PC. So What I installed there was like PuTTY and FileZilla and stuff like that, but also Chrome and Firefox and OpenOffice and Dropbox and Google Drive. I mean, all of the ones that you need to interact with the rest, you can basically install with Ninite. So the Ninite pack is something that I would surely install that is going to save you a lot of time. Then there were the applications that I needed to connect to other platforms and other computers. PuTTY is a great terminal client that I installed. It allows me to connect to my Linux and Mac machines via SSH and via Telnet. FileZilla is a great FTP and secure FTP client that allowed me to transfer files between my Windows machine and all of my other machines, even over the internet. And then I went looking for a better terminal client than PuTTY. And what I found was MobaXterm. MobaXterm was a great little application that allowed me to have a very powerful terminal in Windows. PuTTY is great, but it has its limitations. MobaXterm is like the Cadillac of terminal clients. Now, if you're into Mac and Linux and you work in the terminal and you use the terminal to execute remote commands or do run applications, you'll need a good terminal client, and I would highly advise MobaXterm. I also wanted to have a way to connect back home. If you listen to the last episode of season 8, Holiday Anonymity, of the Nightwise.com podcast, that is, we talked about tunneling through a secure VPN connection back home using an SSH tunnel. And the applications that we talked about to do that with is ProxyCap. It's also available on Windows. I loved it. It lets me tunnel through the internet from wherever I am to my home network, and then just, you know, plug into my home network as if I were connected to the local wireless or wired network. ProxyCap is available on Windows as well. It's not free. You have to pay a little bit after 30 days. I think it's whatever you want to give. It's donationware, but a great app for security and connectivity. And it also allows me to interact with my home network, no matter where I was. I could, you know, browse files and open applications and open files and applications that were stored in my home network, or I could stream audio and video using my Plex server, you know, all that kind of stuff. So those were my important applications to connect to my other machines and my other networks, really allowing me to use my Windows tablet in its most powerful way, by connecting it to the rest. So, I also like to snoop around a little bit and play around a little bit when it comes to security and network penetration. So I installed the Tor browser, the Onion router. This is the browser that allows you to anonymize your traffic no matter where you are. And of course, Wireshark. Wireshark is a little application that allows you to sniff the wireless network that you are on for any unencrypted traffic. Being productive was also something that I wanted to do on my Windows tablet. So I went for the OpenOffice Sync. I used Google Drive to get offline copies of my Google Drive files. I used Dropbox to have, of course, my Dropbox synced. And of course, there is BitTorrent Sync, as also mentioned by McFreeze in the chat room, to synchronize your files across computers without using the cloud. When I wanted to type something, I wanted something simple. I used my Google apps like Google Docs and Google Spreadsheets when I was connected to the net. But I used Notepad++ as my offline type application. Word processor is a big word, but, you know, text editor. I like using something like Notepad++. It's a little bit more than just plain Notepad. So Notepad++ was great. And for the rest, I used Evernote, both the full version and the touch version. Now, of course, you also have to communicate with other people, and my communication suite was also quite simple. I wanted to keep it as open and as cross-platform as possible, so I used Google Hangouts in Chrome. I used Skype. For the mail client, I went with the standard Windows Mail app that comes with Windows 8. So I think that it's actually a Windows RT app, and it's good. It's a good mail client. It's not Outlook, but I don't care. It's not Outlook. It's a great mail app. I had first thought of using, you know, just the webmail interface of Google. But I went with Thunderbird, but I decided to not use those two and go with the Microsoft Mail app. Pretty good, because it supports offline email and it does it in a way that's pretty decent and bandwidth friendly, not like Thunderbird, which eats up basically all of your bandwidth. Not a good idea. So, okay, we communicated, we were productive, we sniffed around a little bit, we connected to all kinds of servers. What do we do for fun in this joint? Well, when it comes to multimedia, I don't have a lot of storage on my Surface Pro. I have 128 gigs, but I have a, you know, full-fledged USB port right here that I can just, you know, plug in an extra USB drive or a USB stick. So I went for VLC as the default media player. I stream from YouTube whenever I want to watch something online, and I use Miro for downloading podcasts and checking out podcasts. Miro being a much better application than GPodder on Windows, which I would normally recommend, but I tried it on Windows, and the GPodder version on Windows just isn't up to specs. So that's what I use. That's my application suite on my Windows 8 Pro Surface device. And that being said, I must say, the device is fast. I also installed VirtualBox, which is hilarious, because then you can install and run a virtual Linux machine on a Windows tablet, which is just weird. I played around with OneNote, also an honorable mention there. Pretty cool application, works especially well with the stylus. Good app. Wouldn't use it on Linux, or because it's not there, but you know, it's not all that people hype it up to be, OneNote, but it's not bad, especially when you use the stylus, then it's pretty good. So that being said, my applications are not many, because I want to make sure that I have as many services as I can using the web, or using interconnected applications, or using applications that are available on Windows, on Mac, and on Linux. So no killer Windows app, except perhaps Redditing, but surely enough to talk about. So we're going to see how the hardware issue is handled. How do I use my little Surface to connect to other things? How's the battery going? How's the touch screen in the next part? And then we will also talk about what's wrong with Windows. Thank you. As I mentioned in the software part, I like to be connected when I use my Windows tablet. I am not somebody who believes in having a lot of files on your computer and using your computer dedicated and offline and as this only, this one and only place where everything's stored. For me, a computer is a device and my data is device independent. So using connectivity was important to me. I was connected to the internet whenever I could, and if possible, VPN'd into my home network, if at all possible. In order for me to do that, I use the onboard Wi-Fi, which is pretty good on the Surface 8, Surface 1 Pro. I use the Wi-Fi hotspot functionality on my Galaxy Note 3, and it was great. I mean, I use the cloud when I can, I sync when I have to, and I only use local storage as my last option. So that's how I use my hardware slash and my connectivity. So, in the end, am I satisfied with this device, hardware-wise? Well, yeah, it's decent, but it's heavy. The Type 2 keyboard is good. I would not go for the Touch 2 keyboard. The backlight on the keyboard is also good. It types well. You can really interact fast with your screen because of the fact that you can use all of these keyboard combos, which is great. The screen is fantastic. The resolution, the high resolution is fantastic. I love this screen more than I love the one on my 11-inch MacBook Air, and that's saying a lot. Downside is the touchpad on the Surface Pro. On the touch, the type keyboard, so many terms, the touchpad on the Type 2 cover is bad. It's frustrating. I would recommend an external mouse if you want to, but of course you can always swipe on the screen, and that is very, very responsive, very fast, and very decent. And by the way, so's the audio. This is great for watching movies. This is only bad to put on your lap because, you know, with the kickstand and everything, the Surface is not really a lap computer. It's too heavy to carry as a tablet, so I would advise a table to use this at all times. So, aside from the hardware, aside from the hardware, what's the verdict? The verdict is something that I wrote up a couple of weeks ago, and I am happy to say that recent events have caught up with me with the release of Windows 10 in a way that I can say that the following statements that I'm going to make are completely right. The things that I think that are wrong with Windows are the ones that Windows just fixed in Windows 10, which is brilliant, because either I'm a visionary, or what I'm actually going to point out is common sense and that should have been fixed a long time ago. First of all, Windows 8 was not well received because of the Metro interface. Windows RT was not well received because of the fact that it was a handicapped operating system with a handicapped operating system with no apps in the store. So what's wrong with Windows? Well, quite let's get started, okay? Windows RT, Windows Phone, it's not a bad OS. It's actually quite elegant. I mean, the first time I played with Windows Phone or Windows Mobile or Windows RT, whatever you want to call it, I thought, like, this is elegant stuff. This is what BlackBerry should have done back in the day. So, great OS. The touch gestures and the interactions and everything are good. They're actually better thought through than Android and iOS in some places. The four edge interaction, as I said, you know, being able to swipe on four, you know, swipe down to close an app and swipe up to get all the apps, your app menu, swipe left to go to the next app, swipe right to get the charms bar. That's brilliant. I really like that, especially on the Surface. It goes like up, down, left, right. That's great, great. They have a unified interface across their desktops and their tablets and their phones. And it's the same everywhere, not like Android with 5,324 flavors and 4,229 versions. So I'm happy with that. But once you step off the beaten path when it comes to applications, it's horrible. It's absolutely horrible. There are, as I said, not enough official apps in the store, and the third-party apps really, really suck. The interaction with the Google interface is quite shady. It's not something I would really rely on. So Windows RT, not my favorite OS. I would do it on the phone. I would not recommend against getting a Windows phone, but I would recommend getting a Windows RT tablet. Don't do it. Then there's Windows 8.1 Pro. The 8.1 upgrade is a good thing. It's a nice OS right now. It actually performs amazingly well on slower hardware. I mean, I used this on a Atom processor with 2 gigabytes of RAM, which was ridiculous. And still, it ran quite well. There are some issues with legacy software, but that's to be expected. I mean, you can install software on this that's 10 years old. There are going to be some glitches with that old software. That's okay. The downside is the Metro interface. Not the fact that it's there, it's that it's always there. The one thing Microsoft did, and they pissed off a lot of people by doing so, was putting the Metro interface on a laptop. People didn't want that. They wanted the start menu. Now, on a tablet, the Metro interface is great. Absolutely. As I said with the RT story, I love the Metro interface on a touch-based interface. But on a non-touch-based device like a laptop, they should have never, ever implemented the Metro interface. Now, how did Microsoft try to resolve this issue? By pushing the OEMs to make touch-based laptops. I don't want a touch-based laptop. It's not logical. I don't care about the fact that I have a 17-inch laptop which I can swipe on. This is something you swipe when you have something in your hand, like this, like showing the camera here, not picking up your hand, going towards your screen and swiping on your screen. I mean, I hate it when people touch my computer screen. I always said putting your fingers on a geek's computer screen, you know, pointing at the screen, you know, with your greasy fingers, is like, you know, grabbing a strange man by the balls. That's the same thing. I mean, I hate it when people do it, and I'm sure as hell not going to do it myself, swipe around on my screen. So what Microsoft should have done in Windows 8 is make the system aware of whether or not there's a touch interface present. And if there's no touch interface present, just go to the classic desktop. And lo and behold, I had not written the show notes. 2 weeks later, Windows 10 comes out and they fix it. So what's my verdict? Well, when it comes to my Surface Pro, I kind of like it because it has both the Metro interface and the classic interface. If it only had the Metro interface and the Metro apps, I wouldn't have bought it. But because it has both, I like it. As for Windows itself, what's wrong with Windows? As I said, you know, pushing the touch interface was the Metro interface on non-touch devices was not a good idea. But all in all, that being said, Windows 8, and especially 8.1, performs quite well. It is faster than it used to be. It performs well on older hardware. It isn't as bloated as I expected, and once you look past the Metro interface, it's not a bad OS. It's Windows 7 with, you know, a little bit of a handicap. So I'm looking forward to Windows 10, and I am pleased to say that Windows has found a place again in my technological ecosphere here at the Nightwise.com casa, because it plays well with other operating systems. It is slider friendly, and after so many years, it lets technology work for me. A And that's all we have time for this week on Nightwise.com. KW902, What's Wrong with Windows? A complicated show because I tried to tell you guys all kinds of things at the same time because we hadn't talked about Windows in a long time. So we had to talk about hardware and software and the ways that we use it. But that's what we do over here at Nightwise.com. I just want to mention that Nightwise.com is going to be out and about the coming weekend. The 18th of October, we are going to FACTS, Belgium's biggest cosplay expo, in the expo halls in Ghent. Flanders Expo in Ghent. We're going to be there with a camera crew doing what we do every year, talking to cosplayers, booth holders, and other geeks and nerds and, people who love everything that has to do with cosplay and games and sci-fi and stuff like that. It's going to be great. We have a great crew this year to work with. We've got the usual suspects, Niana, Stefan Lesage. We have a new camera crew member and two photographers. So it's going to be quite a professional outfit that's going to run around there. If you are going to be at the FACTS event in Ghent next Saturday the 18th, tap us on the shoulder, say hello. If you're either in cosplay or not, just let us know. That's all we have time for this week on the Nightwise.com podcast. If you want to support the show, you know what to do. The only thing that we ask is if you love the show, share the love, share the show with people that you know and that want to tune tech into their way of life and let that technology work for them. You can give us a shout out on Twitter, nightwise.com/Twitter, on Facebook, nightwise.com/Facebook, and you can find our very active Google Plus community on nightwise.com/Google Plus, all one word. You can, of course, subscribe to the show. Just enter the URL www.nightwise.com/subscribe into your favorite podcatcher, and you will get all of the episodes of the Nightwise.com podcast delivered to your favorite podcatcher automatically. That's all we have time for this week. Until next week, next show will be a video show, so stay tuned on the video feed there. Let technology work for you and not the other way around. See you guys. Bye bye.
You have been listening to the Nightwise.com podcast, the show with hacks, tips, and tweaks for cross-platform geeks. Send your feedback, questions, or start your own personal flame war by contacting us directly on feedback@nightwise.com. or following us on Twitter, Facebook, or Google+. You can support the show by sharing it with your friends or writing us a nice iTunes review at www.nightwise.com/iTunes. Or, if you have some credits to spend, click the PayPal button on the nightwise.com website to help us pay the bills. Just remember, there is real life outside cyberspace! But it's not all that important.